Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Russ, we are here for week number two at the American.
Yep, I love the Cowboy Church here.
You know what I love about this today?
Yes, everything.
Everything. I love the acoustics in this place.
Sure.
If you want to come to Arlington, Texas, you should not miss coming to Texas Live. Can you smell the barbecue?
Yes, I can. But oh. You know what they do here during the finals? This is a place they gave out the gold buckle.
Uh-huh. That's
so
true.
So you and I are sitting at the gold buckle stage.
Mm, yeah. That's right. Gold buckle. Yeah. We were gold buckle before gold buckle was cool.
Yeah,
well, this is week two of the American for Cowboy Church, because we had an hour and a half service. So we had...
Well, first of all, I was the first speaker.
Right.
And I want to make sure. I know.
It's
like winning the buckle.
Then we had Corey Solomon,
yes.
Kev Roper, and then Jackie Crawford,
oh.
who is a breakaway roper, fantastic. Has more titles than anybody, than the Queen of England.
Yeah, she does. And, you know, the really cool thing about her is she is ready to have a baby, like right now. We're hoping she made it here. And... she was, just a couple of months ago, was the finals.
Yeah.
So she was like 6-7 months along, which is
goodness.
A world's champion, the first world's champion breakaway roper.
That reminds me of Sue Pirtle, who rode a bull when she was pregnant with her child.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. She was some kind of cowgirl. Well, sit back, relax, and do not turn that channel. We have Cowboy Church coming to you. Today, we would like to do a little bit of a memorial for a man who is close to us. Many of you have lost loved ones, or you know of someone who has lost a loved one during COVID-19. One of our cameramen, Johnny Payne, lost his life to COVID. Johnny was born in September 12th of 1948. He died November 26th of 2020. He is survived by his wife of 54 years, Nancy Payne of Ozark, Missouri. He had daughters Sherry, daughter Heather, and his son, Johnny. He was a general contractor by trade, but his passion was music, and he loved Jesus. He was out in California, and our main man, Jimmy Barnes, who edits our shows and drives the bus and is in the bus right now editing on the fly, they were partners out in California. They loved music, and they were the best of friends. And when Jimmy came to Missouri to live in 1991, Johnny was right behind him. And when Johnny got out to Missouri, he worked for 17 years for Mickey Gilley as a project manager. He retired there and he started a new business making Cajun drums. And he loved that. Can you see the twinkle in his eye? Can you see the good-heartedness in this man named Johnny Payne? He was one of our cameramen, and when I would look at him, he kind of had a little bit of a twisted face. And when I would look at him with a question, he'd smile at me, and then I'd mouth a question, and he'd just throw up his hands and like, I don't know, and then just duck his head and laugh. And then he started assisting in various construction projects and filming for RFD TV and Cowboy Church. John loved Jesus and was not shy about telling folks about the Lord and what a mighty God he served. He also served Jesus by playing in a Christian rock band, Burt Smith and The Walk. He didn't just do it on a stage like this for all the glory. He played in prisons, halfway houses, and shelters. Jimmy Barnes says this: I first met John and his family 35 years ago in California, where we both played in a band together. We became great friends, and when I moved to Branson, he followed me there. We remained friends close friends for many years. He was on our crew. He worked tirelessly. This is not an easy job doing these shows like this. Johnny Payne. He was a good man. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see.
The struggle that I've had going into, you know, the breakaway growing and people learning your name more is that you also comes the bad side of it. Also comes the criticisms and the things that, you know, people are going to say about you that's not true or spread. And, you know, it's just amplified by social media when it does happen. But, you know, social media, I'm not bashing that because it's also a great thing. We get to share a lot of useful stuff on there when it's used well. But one of the struggles that I've had is in the last couple of years, when those things arise and people, you know, say things about you, criticize you, put your character down, and you just, the first thing I want to do is battle back. And it's like, wait, I've worked so hard for this name. I've worked so hard to try to be a good person.
Wait a minute. He's nodding his head like, yeah, you understand that too?
I definitely do.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you're so offended and you're so hurt. I mean, you really are. You get your feelings are hurt. And I'm a sensitive person. When I think someone doesn't like me, it just kills me, you know, or they think I've done bad or whatever. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like you said, we're all a work in progress. We all make mistakes, but you know, you try to right your wrongs and do better each day. And so it's been a challenge for me, and my husband helps me a lot with this, and is to take that and realize, like, this is an opportunity to grow yourself in your faith, because you're being tested, you know, and you can't lash out. Even though you get caught in it sometimes, I have to remember, I'm not seeking people's approval. You're seeking God's approval. And if God knows your heart, and if God knows your intentions and you're trying to do his good, you know, you can't worry about what the devil brings in and tries to tear you down and drag you this direction. So that's been a very hard struggle for me to learn, and, you know, and know that every time that happens, it's just a test for me to, you know, go back and become closer to the Lord and study, how do I handle this? How do I be okay and, you know, calm down and not try to, that makes me so mad, you know, but you just have to, and not have problems with it. So that is something that is a struggle every day, but I think it's, I have to look at the good in it and realize it's just tests for us.
That's good stuff. Hey, and there's another thing I wanted to ask you about, Corey. You'd mentioned, and we can sit here and try to hypothesize or theorize about all kinds of things, but you made a statement when we were talking about your responsibility as a black man in rodeo. And I just thought it was such a great thing. Can you give us a little bit of how you feel about that and your responsibility of that?
Yeah,
I loved it.
For sure. It's just you know, this world is, they make it, you know, white and black, you know.
Sure.
And I read this thing years ago. I read this quote. It said, I want to find things better than I found them. So this whole journey of being in this industry, I met some of the best people, you know, in my whole life. You know, I don't see color. My goal was to make more people not see color. And but at the same time, using this platform, I try to do that. You know, obviously God brought me to. If he wanted me to play sports or basketball, which I tried, wasn't very good at it. So if he wanted me to play other sports, that's where he would have placed me. And God put me in this industry, which became my family. And I wanted to find this sport better than I found it. But that also comes with, you know, you take a lot of heat, you know, because people are gonna see it or take it how they think, you know. I wouldn't say it if I wanted it to be negative, you know. So being a black, you know, cowboy in this sport was, you know, I wanted to be part of a change, you know. God obviously picked me. Why? I don't know, but I'm a work in progress, and I like to see the sport just continue to grow, to see us as cowboys and cowgirls.
People who have been studying who the person of God is according to the Bible for years, you'll know that one of his primary attributes is that of omnipresence. He is present everywhere, all the time. And that's a hard thing to get a grasp on, that idea. The missionaries who came into Alaska and who came into Southern California in the early days, they said something like, "We thought we were bringing the gospel, we were bringing God to these people, only to discover that God was there ahead of us, preparing the way." Some of us have naively, maybe, or with good intent, invited God into our worship services. And I want to gently say, hey, he's already there. He showed up early. He's already there. There's been times in my world when I've wondered, where are you, God? My leg's broken. It's time to feed. I can't get water. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm alone. Where are you, God? And unlike me and my cattle, I cannot be omnipresent. They will have broken legs and I won't know about it. But the person of God knows about it, and he's there. Now that, for you thinking folks, that will raise a lot of questions, and those questions I can't answer for you, because where was he when comes to mind? And I have those same questions. But I want to assure you, according to Scripture, and Psalm 139 is my really easy text this morning, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And he goes on to say, "If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're already there. I can't hide because you are already where I try to hide." And that's a fascinating truth. Where were you, God, when my pride got in the way of my relationship with my oldest daughter? Where were you? I was there, he says. Where were you, God, when success became an addiction for some of my friends? Where were you? I'm there, Mark, relax. Where were you, God, when I can't get past my envy? Other people are better than me. Other people have more things than me, and I'm there. Where's God when all I want is peace? I just want peace. I want everybody to just get along. Quit bringing up politics. Quit bringing up the old stuff. Quit dropping your head and giving that shaming look to your son when he's trying to tell you something exciting, and the mom says, "Where's God in this?" He's there.
You know, when we're with people, if we can just take one step closer in our relationship with God, that's a win. And so this morning, I'm expecting the Spirit of God to reveal to each and every one of us, no matter where we're at or what we're going through, something that's going to help us take one step closer in our relationship with God. And you've heard it come out of each and every individual. It's just the importance, and please hear what I'm saying here, the importance of you knowing how valuable you are. You know, we sit up here and we listen to Russ and Mark and Susie and Corey and Jackie, and we think, man, that is just so cool. It'd be so cool to do what they do and experience what they've experienced, and man, that is just the coolest thing. But you know, God wants you to know that your story is just as valuable. Your part is just as valuable. You have a place of change upon this earth, and that you're very valuable to the things of God, to the people that you're connected to. You've probably seen or heard the illustration. You know, if I had this $100 bill right here, and I lifted it up and I asked you, who would want this $100 bill? Who would raise their hand? Okay, the others of you are just lying. I mean, you're just flat out lying, okay? So let's try this again. Who would want this $100 bill? Yeah, exactly. Now, what if I take this $100 bill and I crinkle it up, but then I still lift it up and said, now who wants the $100 bill because it's been crinkled up? What would you say? Everyone, you lift your hand. Now, if I had it and it fell out of my pocket and I was in the horse pen and it had horse poop and horse pee on it, and I might have even fallen out of my pocket when I was getting diesel or something, but I still lifted it up by the corner and I said, who still wants this $100 bill? What would you say? Why is that? Because its value was set on it by the treasury. No matter what this piece of paper had gone through, it never lost its value. And no matter what you've gone through, you haven't lost your value. No matter where you've come from, you haven't lost your value. God wants you and I to understand how valuable we are, and the gifts that God has placed on the inside of you, they're valuable. Say they're valuable. Being a dad, being a mom, being a husband, being a wife, being a leader, being someone of strength, stature, just going after God, like Corey and Jackie said, just being a work in progress, you're in the game, you are valuable. Say, I'm valuable. I want to read Romans chapter 11, verse 29, then go into Romans chapter 12. And in 11:29, it says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace, to whom he sends his call. Verse 3, for by grace, his unmerited favor, God given to me, I warn every one of you among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, nor to have an exaggerated opinion or of his own importance, but to rate his own ability with soldier judgment, each according to the degree of his faith, apportioned by God to him. So I want you to picture what God is saying. He is saying in each and every one of you, and it goes on in verses 4 and 5, and it talks about all of us having a part to play in the body of Christ, but God is wanting for you and I to single our relationship out with him, and he's wanting us to realize that he has placed gifts in every single one of us, and he has placed his grace in every single one of us. See, grace paints the picture of God's attitude. It's his heart attitude that he's moving towards you and I to have a relationship with you and I, regardless of where we've been, what we've gone through, or where we've come from. Kind of like the $100 bill. Grace in the Greek is the word charis, and it means favor, and it means benefit, and it means gift, and it means being thankful, and it is such a huge word. But picture what Paul is saying here. Grace is God's divine influence on your heart to reflect his goodness to the world. So Paul is saying, I place my gift, my divine empowerment in you, and I put my grace. Grace not only brings you into a place of relationship with God, but grace is an empowerment for you and I to live out our relationship with God. So he says, I put my grace, my gift in you, and I put my grace on you. And he says, now there's a call upon your life. Like Russ said, call means a summons. It's an invitation. So when God created you, and he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he wired you the way that you're wired and gifted you the way that you're gifted, and he designed you the way that you're designed, and he put his grace on you, and he's in front of you calling you, or inviting you to be who you're called and created to be. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm inviting you to be the best you that you can be, and you are very valuable. Your part in the body is very valuable. Look at somebody and say, you're valuable. And now picture with me, look up at the structure up here. Now we're talking about everybody is valuable. What if there were welding up there on the structure, and they flew in this master welder, and he was up there, you know, his job was to weld it in a certain way where it would hold the weight and it would hold the structure. And then you had this brain surgeon over here, and they're talking, and this brain surgeon could just do miracles. He could do no wrong. But they said, you know what, I think let's let the brain surgeon go to the welding side, and let's let the welder go to the operating room. And so they get up there on the structure, and they look at the brain surgeon, and they say, okay, you know, light it up, buddy. Let's get going. Let's weld it. And that guy's going, I don't have a clue of what you're saying. And the project manager is saying, man, you're worthless. Now, is he really worthless? Do this. No. No, he's just in the wrong place. Operating room, here's the welder is. You know, the guy's laid out on the table and everything that opened him up. They say, okay, where are you going to make your incisions? I don't know. Get me a torch. We'll just start cutting. You know, they'd look at him, you know, is this guy worthless? No, he's not worthless. He's just in the wrong place. See, you have a gift, and there's God's grace, and there's a place in the kingdom of God. There's a place in the body of Christ. There's a place in God's family that's calling for you. I want you to see God looking directly into the real you. And he's saying, you're so valuable to me that maybe you haven't used the gifts that God's placed in you up to this point. But he's saying, my grace is reaching out to you. Years ago, the Lord showed me a picture of God's grace being like God's hand, because God's grace is extended towards you and I. But then it's our faith that reaches up and receives what God is offering by his grace. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And I know there's a lot of you that God is knocking on your heart, just wanting you to say yes. Revelations 3:20 tells us that God stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And he says, anybody who opens the door, he will come in. Can we say this prayer together, all of us out loud? Can we say, Father God, today is the day that I make the decision to believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to give me life. And right now, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. And according to God's word, I'm now saved, forgiven, cleansed, a new person, and I can be certain that I'll spend eternity with Almighty God.
Hey, Russ, we had a good day.
We did. I enjoyed it so much.
Mm-hmm. We sure did. I mean, I don't think anyone could have said I was bored at this service.
Well, I didn't.
I didn't
either. And
I'm
the one that always gets bored.
Well, we hope that you feel like today that you came in at high call. And if you don't know what that means, just check out Team Robin and you'll find out.
We have our own language.
If you're a fan of Cowboy Church and you get enriched by this service and our TV program, we would ask you to consider to donating to Cowboy Church to keep us on the air. It takes a lot of money to take that bus where we go and to bring quality and different hairstyles for me, for one thing.
Well, you know, I was really impressed by Mark because he's expanded so much since he's married you to so many different kinds of things, like raising cattle and stuff. And I saw him back there, he was doing your hair, and I thought, hey, that's not fair. I don't want to have to join that crowd.
He's a jack of all trades.
He's a good one.
If you enjoy Cowboy Church, we would really appreciate your donations to keep us on the air. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday on Cowboy Church.